Amen. Yeah.
My granddaughter Mariah, she's now a doctor.
Amen.
She found a doctor?
No, she is a doctor.
Amen, doctor.
Okay.
Got a doctor.
She, PhD, post hole digger. Amen.
Certified post hole.
Tell her congratulations for us. What is it in?
Psychology. She wants to work with people with PTSD.
Well, that's going to be, she probably needs to take some Taekwondo too.
Amen.
Praise the Lord for that. Galatians chapter 6, verse 1. We want to get back to this. I want to review this before we get to what we're doing. We're going to wade through these verses, and I'm going to challenge you. I want to make sure our master clubs and other folks that are not in the service get these messages and listen to them, and because these are what scripture, and it'll help us. It's helped me, and I need help. And just ask Miss Creed, but I need help. But Galatians chapter 6 and verse 1, what's it say?
Brethren, if a man be overtaken in a fault.
Stop right there. Now, what's the next phrase?
Ye which are spiritual.
So there's a qualifier. You've got somebody that's fallen into sin. The Bible tells us to restore them. There's no throwaway Christians. We don't shoot our wounded. All right? They blew it. They knew it. They know it. But there's a qualifier in there, ye which are spiritual. Now, we've established that, and I've looked about, you know, I've heard people say, well, you know, that's a spiritual person. Or I'm spiritual. Well, I've looked in the Bible, the qualifiers, and really, the only qualifier that I am spiritual is that I'm filled with the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Now, I'm indwelled at salvation, the Bible says. It teaches that. But am I filled with the Spirit? Am I filled with the Spirit? And we're looking at that, and we looked at some fundamentals, some foundational thoughts concerning those that are spiritual. I want you to turn to Ephesians chapter 9. Ephesians chapter 9. Ephesians chapter 9. I mean, Ephesians chapter 5. Verse 9. There's not 9 chapters in Ephesians, is there? It's the preacher's adding to the Bible. Goodness gracious. Look at verse 9. It says, for the fruit of the Spirit is in all goodness and righteousness and truth, proving what is acceptable unto the Lord. And have no fellowship with unfruitful works of darkness, but rather reprove them, for it is a shame even to speak of those things which are done of them in secret. Now that's a good verse right there.
Amen.
This is not for me to sit there and open a can of nastiness in the pulpit, or you either, with conversations. It's not for us to speak of those things. But all things that are reproved are made manifest by light, for whatsoever doth make manifest is light. Wherefore, he saith, awake thou that sleepest, and rise from the dead, and Christ shall give thee light. See then that ye walk circumspectly, not as fools, but as wise, redeeming the time, because days are evil. Wherefore, be not unwise, but understanding the will, what the will of the what?
The Lord is.
So, if what's, you're either unwise or you're understanding the will of God. We're either doing our own thing or we're doing His thing. And be not drunk with wine, where is excess, but be ye filled with the Spirit. Now look at Galatians chapter 5. Galatians chapter 5. He starts in verse 1. He says, stand fast, therefore, in the liberty wherewith Christ hath made us free, and be not entangled again with the yoke of bondage. Now, what's a liberty? Now, Chris, if you preacher say, well, preacher, I have Christian liberty, so I can do what I want. It doesn't matter what I do. It's not sin. That's not what it's saying.
Amen.
We operate within the boundaries of God's sovereign will, and God has boundaries. Mm-hmm. He does. But within those boundaries, we're not bound by sin. You know, people walk around there and say, man, I have a good time. Well, what do you have to have a good time next week? I just have to have more. And what next week? You have to have more. Huh? Mm-hmm. But we can be satisfied with Jesus. Satisfied with what God has given us. So he says, stand fast in liberty. And then he gets down to, he says, verse 17, for the flesh lusteth against the spirit, the spirit against the flesh. And these are contrary one to another, the other, so that ye cannot do the things that ye would. Now, what's it saying there? You're either led by the Spirit or you're led by the flesh. Mm-hmm. But if ye be led of the Spirit, ye are not under the law. You say, what do you mean? He said, here's what you need to understand. The law was given as a schoolmaster. It was given to show us our sin. It was given to us to point to the Savior. Mm-hmm. Those three things. If you live led by the Spirit, you don't need law. Doesn't mean you can do whatever you want. It's you're going to be so tuned into God that it's going to be beyond that. Okay?
Amen.
And so Jesus showed us that. Now the works of the flesh are manifest. Which are these? Adultery, fornication, uncleanness, lasciviousness, idolatry, witchcraft, hatred, variance, emulations, wrath, strife, seditions, heresies, envyings, murders, drunkenness, revelings, and such like, of which I tell you before, as I have also told you in time past, that they which do these things shall not inherit the kingdom of God. Now, what's it talking about? It's talking about these people. That's their life. Now, what does it say here? He says, but the fruit of the Spirit. And that's what we're going to look at. We're going to look at the fruit of the Spirit. And tonight, what happens is, have you all ever gone out in spring and there's some residual leaves on a tree? You ever see that? That they hang on? They're hanger-ons?
Black oak.
Yeah. But if you get under those trees in the spring at certain times, those leaves are coming down. They're almost disintegrating. Why is that? Because that tree, that tree inside is pushing new fruit out. You understand?
Mm-hmm.
And what God is saying to us is the fruit. If you have the Holy Spirit, this is going to be the fruit. And what is fruit? What is fruit? It's something that can be partaken of. It's something that tastes good. It's something that is enjoyed. And let me just say, the world should be able to get around us and say there's something different about them. And Christians should be able to get around us and say, hey, this is good. Mm-hmm. I've been around Christians that are very prickly. I've been around Christians that just make you want to feel uncomfortable. I've been around some preachers that are the biggest gossips in the world. I don't enjoy that.
Mm-hmm.
I enjoy real people that know a real Jesus, that love the real Bible and love church and love other Christians and want to be a blessing to you. Don't you want to be a blessing to people? And people be, well, the fruit of the Spirit, if you're spiritual, here's what's going to be in your life. Now, buckle your seatbelts. We're going to take several weeks with this because there's some fruit here mentioned. And so tonight we want to look at love. Matthew chapter 12 and verse 33 says this, for the tree is known by his fruit. The tree is known by his fruit. Matthew 7:16 warned the false prophets, ye shall know them by their fruits. And verse 20 of chapter 7 in Matthew says, "Wherefore by their fruits ye shall know them." Now, there are a number of possibilities if fruit is missing. Okay? You ready?
Let's see.
Well, number one, that's right. But number one, the tree is immature in the early growth stages. A new believer or a believer that's never matured. You know, what would you think if we put Mrs. Sharita in a nursery? You say she doesn't belong in a nursery. But I've met Christians that have been saved longer than I've been on this earth that are immature Christians.
That's crazy.
Huh? Now, what you have to do is ask yourself that. If I'm not mature, if there's no fruit, it's because I may be immature. Number two, because the tree is malnourished. Huh?
Wow. Amen.
Yeah, that's right.
The tree, devotions, church, mm-hmm. attendance, study. I'm going to tell you something. On Sunday evening, I'm done. Stick a fork in me. I mean, it is a strain on a preacher. They say preaching a message is like doing an 8-hour job. And you say, well, preacher, you don't move around that much. Let me tell you something. It's a strain on your being.
Right. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
For me to stand here before you Sunday after Sunday and preach, knowing that I'm preaching to people that are listening to me, plus live stream, mm-hmm. I better say what's right.
Mm-hmm. Amen.
Amen?
Amen.
And so I said that to say this. I study all the time. And man, I get into some scripture and I get off on these sidetracks because there's a verse in there and I'm saying, whoa, this is another message. And I'm writing stuff down, Sharita, for mm-hmm. next time and mm-hmm. got stuff going. And so, but study. Do you study the Word of God? Mm-hmm. Oh, preacher, I read a devotional. That's pre-chewed food. That's something what somebody...
Exactly.
Well, preacher, I come to church. That's just for me to admonish you and to encourage you and sometimes rebuke. And so that's what you're hearing the preaching. But you need to be stingy and get it for yourself.
Amen.
Amen.
The best thing you can do, one of the best things you can do is take notes, take the message I preach, and study it for a week.
Amen.
Just let it soak in.
Mm-hmm.
Right? Miss Anita, Miss Pam was trying to say, said, how's your classes going? She said, well, you know, we were talking about Jonah. And Miss Anita was talking about a present day article where she read that a guy was in the whale for a little bit. You know? And I imagine she... And I heard us a while ago, you all were getting into some prophecy study, you and Bethany. And you know, it's important that you take your Bible seriously and take time. And instead of sitting down watching the TV, unless it's sports, but sit down and study. Get into it.
Mm-hmm.
See? Pray. And so is a tree's not having fruit, and I've not gotten into the fruit yet. I hope I do. But it may not be a fruit tree. An oak tree's not going to produce an apple. A person may look like, talk like, act like a Christian and still not be a Christian.
Mm-hmm.
So how do other people tell that I'm a Christian? What does the Spirit look like? What does a filling of the Spirit look like? The key to fruit bearing is our relationship to the Holy Spirit. The key to fruit bearing is our relationship to the Holy Spirit. You say, preacher, should I talk to the Spirit? Yep. You can talk to the Father, you can talk to the Son, you can talk to the Holy Spirit. You can say, I'm talking to all three of you. You say, preacher, that just sounds... Well, you know what? I'm part of the family. I'm not being disrespectful.
Mm-hmm.
But if you ask the Spirit to help you, He'll turn the light on.
Mm-hmm.
He'll start giving stuff to you. And it'll be right. Won't be false.
Amen.
I've had people come in church and say, "Pastor, I had a new revelation." I said, "No, you didn't. You ate too much pizza before you went to bed, or you've been drinking or something. But you didn't have no new revelation."
Mm-hmm.
Unless you bought a new Bible and it's a new revelation in the back of the Bible. But you can hear it not. And I just got a new revelation. You can see him preaching all the time. I got a new revelation from God. No, you didn't. No, you didn't. And so, rather than just seeking fruit, we should seek the one who produces fruit. Did you hear what I said?
Mm-hmm.
Rather than seeking fruit, you know, I've seen that plastic fruit that looks so real. I've seen people walk up and bite it. Say, "This is not real." That's right. Well, real fruit of the Spirit comes from the Spirit.
Amen.
Amen?
That's right.
Now, a Christian ought to be exhibiting, number one, let's look at this tonight. We're going to try to get through this tonight. Is the fruit of love. The fruit of love. Now listen, I'm going to give you some scripture, but I want you to think about this. John begins this section with an exhortation in John, 1 John chapter 4. 1 John chapter 4. I didn't get you to turn there, but I want you to turn there. 1 John chapter 4. And he says in verse 7 and 8, "Beloved, let us love one another, for love is of God, and everyone that loveth is born of God and knoweth God. He that loveth not knoweth not God, for God is love." Now this is talking about the agape love. This is talking about God's love. Now I want to get you to understand this, that it's not love that you conjure up on your own. God gave you His Spirit to give you His way of loving. This is not you conjuring up. You say, okay, when they come into church and they start doing that thing that aggravates me, I'm just going to ignore it. That's not love. Huh? And so think about this. The reason for love. John begins this section with an exhortation. The third time he is considering the subject of love, and he exhorts us to love one another, not once but three times. Look in verse 11. "Beloved, if God so loved us, we ought also to love one another." Verse 12, "No man has seen God at any time. If we love one another," he's talking about loving each other. Beloved, he's addressing the churches. He's addressing saved people. And John also gives us a reason why we should obey the command. First of all, love is part of the very nature of God. "For God so loved the world." His attribute. We love the love of God. Amen. We want the love of God. We don't want the wrath of God. We want the love. Out of the love of God comes mercy and grace and blessings and all kinds of good stuff. He loves me. He loves me not. He loves me. Remember those? Remember that thing? It's the flower. Yeah. He loves me. God loves me. You don't have to pick any more petals. Just the first one. He loves me. Receiving a new nature is a result of our salvation. And since God is love, a person with the Spirit of God nature should also have that love for others. I'm not talking about just Christians, but for lost people. Mm-hmm. A navigator depends on the compass to determine his course or direction. Why does the compass point north? It's made and constructed for that magnetic field that is part of the earth's makeup. The compass is responsive to the nature of the earth. The nature of God is love. A person who knows God and is born of God will respond to God's nature. This nature, natural response, is not a forced response. It's not forced.
Amen.
Okay? I wrote these things down, these thoughts down, so I wouldn't forget them. A person, verse 8, a person that is without this kind of love is a person without a personal relationship with God. Why do people murder people? They don't have a personal relationship with God. Mm-hmm. Why do people do certain things? Mm-hmm. Why do you do what you... Listen, if you have a personal relationship with God, love should be there. That's the reason. Our children grow up to look like their parents. You know that? And we ought to grow up to look like God.
Amen.
And love, God wants us to be a channel of His love to others. What are you saying, preacher? I'm saying we're conduits. We're conduits. So the reason for our love, it's the nature of God. Number two, the demonstration. I've just got two things to say on this fruit, about this fruit. Look, the demonstration of God's love for us. Think about that thought. God's love for me. True love is never inactive or static. How does God demonstrate His love? Look in verse 9. It says this. In this was what?
Manifested
the what?
The love of God.
Toward who?
Toward us.
Because He what?
That God.
He sent His only begotten Son. That's the sister brother verse for John 3:16. You ought to write that in your Bible by there. For God so loved the world. How does God demonstrate His love? He sent His Son in this action. Notice that word manifested. He made known His love. He revealed it. He made it public. Love needs to be communicated in some way. We tried to visit with Miss Grandma Hazel, but she wasn't doing too good. They're working on the house, banging on the house, and got her all worked up. And so she's not been in a good way this week. So we went to bought her a real pretty flower the other day. And we were taking over to her, and we got almost off the ramp, Arnold. And Mona called back and said, she's in a bad way. So we turned back around and went to Chick-fil-A and got a milkshake. But that caused us to stink spiritually. And then, we sent her a flower. Why? We wanted to let her know we love her.
Amen.
Right? Huh? You ever get a card from your kids or get a card from something? Benjamin sent a postcard. They did a postcard with their picture on it to Pam about Mother's Day. I mean, you'd think she'd got a new car. Why? It's just great to know somebody loves us, right? And it's important. It's important that we show. It's manifested. And that God manifested. It's seen in Christ coming. He came, the only begotten Son. And Christ was unique, the only one of a kind. It wasn't just any person. When we show our loves, it's special. It's not something that's easily obtained or purchased. Express, here, I brought you a soda. I love you. Right? Where'd you get it? Well, I had a coupon that's free. It didn't cost me nothing. Oh, you love me a lot. No. He manifested. He showed it. A love is seen in Christ's death. Look at verse 10. Herein is love, not that we love God, but He first loved us and sent His Son to be a propitiation for our sins. He appeased, he satisfied the requirements for us to have eternal life. He demonstrated his love, but God commendeth His love toward us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. And so that propitiation, He appeased the wrath of God and put favor on us. John 3:36, He that believeth not on the Son hath everlasting life, and he that believeth not the Son shall not see life, but the wrath of God abideth on him. So the demonstration of love is God. He first loved us. He showed us His love. There's no doubt in your mind, if you're a Christian, that God loves you. You realize this shortly after you're saved, how much he loves you. But number two, God's love, but number two, our love for others. Notice what it says there. It says, beloved, beloved, verse 11. He appeals to their heart to look back at what Christ has done. He said, beloved, if, or since, in view of a fact, because God would love sinners, so should we. Mm-hmm. Why? Because we have His Spirit in us. And we demonstrate our love to God by our love for others. That's what he's trying to tell us here. Now, we can talk about loving God. God says, if you love me, keep my commandments. We know that part. But if we want to complete God's love in our lives, and we want the Spirit, we want to have the fruit of the Spirit that is love, we've got to love others. Archibald said amen. Philippians 1:9 says this, and this I pray, that your love may abound yet more and more in knowledge and in all judgment. What's Paul saying there? Abound, that means to overflow. You see, Paul grew up as a Pharisee, tearing up churches for the glory of God. He lived a militant religious life. No love. There's no love in the world religions. It's all fear.
Right.
But God said, I love you. And I love them. So you need to love them the way I love them. You see, the thing that most churches, we could run 100 buses, and we could do this and do that. Let me just say something. If we don't have love, we're in trouble.
Right.
I'm getting to that. Let me get you to turn to 1 Corinthians. 1 Corinthians chapter 14, verse 1 says, follow after charity and desire spiritual gifts, but rather that ye may prophesy. He said, they say, first follow after charity. The word charity in the Bible is talking about love. But in chapter 13, let's read through this. He says, though I speak with the tongues of men and of angels and have not charity, I am become as a sounding brass or a tinkling cymbal. You know, he says that? If I don't have love, I'm just making noise. I'm just a noisemaker. And though I have the gift of prophecy and understand all mysteries and all knowledge, and though I have all faith so that I could remove mountains. Listen, a person, there are people out there that are very impressive. They stand behind the pulpits of America. They're very impressive. But if they don't have love, look what it says. I am nothing. This is what God's saying. This is not what the brethren are saying. This is what God's saying.
Wow.
He says, and though I bestow all my goods to feed the poor, and though I give my body to be burned and have not charity, no profit. It's a waste. It's vain. Charity suffereth long. I love God and I love the person. I'm going to stay right here. If I suffer, I suffer. And is kind. Mm-hmm. I've been seeing these little signs all over the place on poles. Be kind. Charity envieth not. You're happy for somebody when they get something. Charity vaunteth not itself, is not puffed up. Doth not behave itself unseemingly, not her own, is not easily provoked, thinketh no evil, rejoiceth not in iniquity, but rejoiceth in truth. Beareth all things, believeth all things, hopeth all things, endureth all things. Charity never faileth, love never fails. But whether there be prophecies, they shall fail. Whether they be tongues, they shall fail, they shall cease. Whether there be knowledge, it shall vanish away. For we know in part and prophesy in part. But when that which is perfect is come, then that which is in part shall be done away. That verse 10 you can put there by that verse, the Bible. That which is perfect is come is the Bible. When I was a child, I spake as a child. I understood as a child. I thought as a child, but when I became a man, I put away childish things. For now we see through a glass darkly, but then face to face. Now I know in part, but then shall I know even as also I am known. And now abideth faith, hope, charity, these three. But the greatest of these is what?
Charity.
Charity. We ask the question, what does a disciple of Christ look like? John chapter 13 and verse 35 says this, by this shall all men know that ye are my disciples, if ye have love one another, for one another. Really, it's the gospel according to you. Now here it is in a nutshell. I've given you a couple things to think about tonight. The love of God, okay? The love of God. You don't conjure this up. It's not there's no book on it out there in the bookstore. It's right here. We could rename our church Love Baptist Church. Doesn't mean everybody would be loving in here. Right?
Amen.
Now, I counsel people for marriage. I say, hey, what? The first question I say, why do you want to marry him? And to him, I say, why do you want to marry her? I don't know. Well, good night. You're not even married yet. You better figure it out. You better come up with some stuff. We're done with the session. You come back with some stuff next session. Why do we love God? Because he first loved us. Why do we love others? Because his spirit indwells us and fills us that we can love others. You can't love others without the spirit of God. And you can't have the fruit of the spirit, love, unless you understand God's love. Mm-hmm. There's nothing you can do that separates you from the love of God.
Amen.
The only thing I know to compare it with is the love of a mother. You know, as parents, as husbands and fathers, our kids do something, we want to kill them. I mean, not literally, but we're done with them. You start acting like that and glance over at the mom, she gives you a look like, nobody moves, nobody dies. Why? Because there's not a love. There's not the only greater love than a mother's for her children is God's. And he never stopped. Mamas have loved criminals that have done hideous crimes. Still love them. God so loved the world. The criminal element, the gangsters, the people that aggravate you, bring their dog over into your yard and let them do their business. I've got a slingshot in there.
That's why I have a fence.
You get offended?
No, I don't get offended.
Offense. Here's the picture that we need to have in our mind. Here's the picture we need to have in our mind. Come on back. Come on back. Come on back, Darren. Come on back, Darren. I didn't mean it. Here's the picture. Here's the picture. I have the Spirit of God in me. And it's not my love that is loving those people. It's God's love through me.
Amen.
Because if it depends on me, they can take a long walk off a short pier. Some of them. Now, come on, I'm being honest with you. Some people just get on our last nerve. But God's love never ends. Never ends. The fruit of the Spirit is love. Why do those kids come to church for master clubs, and why do new ones keep coming? Because those people out there love them.
Amen.
Why do those teens come? Because Bethany and Chris love them. And love is the fruit of, it's the first fruit of the Spirit. Do you think it was designed to be that way? Yeah. Amen? Let's pray. Father, thank you for the time you've given us. Bless the invitation. Speak to our hearts in Jesus' name. Amen. Just going to take a few minutes. You stand. If God spoke to your heart, you won't get alone. Just get with God and say, help me to love the way you love. Help me to love the people you love. Forgive me where I haven't. Forgive me where I haven't. Amen. If any of you have an offering, just bring it up. You can take that offering plate back to Mrs. Anita. She's got a big manila envelope full of cash. No, I'm just kidding. Hey, listen, the reason Vinny got saved was you loved him.
Amen. Amen.
It's just that simple.
You're a rough-looking character, but you got love in your heart. Right?
Didn't always used to.
Well, you do now.
Amen.
And, if we love each other, care for each other in this church, it spins out. But it takes the Spirit of God.
Mm-hmm. Amen.
It takes the Spirit of God. And, I'll be honest with you, when I get ready to preach, I think things I could say, I said, well, that's not in love. Right? Hey, listen, let's pray for each other. Darian's going to talk to... Who?
Mr. Edwin.
Talk to Edwin, his neighbor that got saved, and he's going to work him in and start discipling him. So pray for Darian. As he does that.
Amen.
And let's pray for each other this week. Amen.
Amen.
And let's pray towards Sunday. Let's trust God for a great, great Sunday.
Amen.
I'll tell you, that was a fun Sunday evening, wasn't it? Brother A.G. and his crew sang for us. That was pretty good.
Amen.
I enjoyed that. Amen. Well, let's close in prayer. Brother Glade, how about closing for us?
God, we just come to you and thank you for your love for us. Help us to grow in our love for our people, lost people. Help us to love each other more. We thank you, Lord, for the Bible that you've given us, your word, Lord, how it teaches us to love. Help us not to take our salvation for granted. Help us to share it with others, Lord. Of course, we thank you that we have a Bible-believing church that we can come to, Lord. Now be with each one that's leaving here tonight. Help us to be the witness we need to be for you, Lord. In Jesus' name.
Amen.
Amen.
Yeah, you probably need some more water.